We're going to do something a little different today. Today was the beginning of the fall semester for kids' Bible classes. And one of the reasons we have kids' Bible classes here is because the Bible is not just for grown-ups. It's God's word for kids also. And so today's sermon is going to be specifically for the kids. All right, so if you have a Bible and you can read and you want to follow along, today's scripture passage is Luke chapter 6, verses 17, 18, and 19. Luke chapter 6, 17, 18, and 19. If you don't know how to read, that's okay. You can just listen today. Luke 6, 17, 18, and 19. And I want to invite everyone else here to turn there as well. All right. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that your love is so great and you show it by creating people in your image, from the littlest among us to the oldest among us. You love the creation that you have made. And even though sin has twisted us and caused us in our hearts to go astray from you, you have shown so much love by sending your Son to bring us back to the God who made us and sending your Spirit to give us life. And I pray for the kids in our church. I thank you for them, each one of them, made and known and called by you to be here. I pray that they would see more and more clearly Jesus, their God and Savior, and put their trust in him and their lives in his hands. In his name I pray, amen. All right, so kids, I think you've heard this before, but I just want to remind you, Jesus cares about you. Sometimes you might think, maybe you know the grown-ups care about you, but sometimes you might think, we don't notice you. And I know that sometimes that's true. We get distracted. Maybe we get distracted talking to other people. And sometimes we need to talk to other people. But sometimes we need to pay attention to you and we get distracted from you. But I want to tell you something. Jesus never gets distracted from you. He sees each person in a crowd. And he sees each person's heart and what they're thinking, and what they're feeling, and how they're hurting, and how they're being tempted, and what they need. And so when Jesus spoke to a crowd, this is something maybe we forget when you read the Bible, and Jesus is speaking to a crowd full of men and women, and maybe there's important leaders there, or maybe there's scary guys he had to keep his eye on, someone with a demon or something. Or maybe very chatty grown-ups, and they just keep talking and talking and talking, asking questions, and you think, oh, Jesus is just thinking about those people. No, Jesus also always noticed the kids. So today's sermon is going to be focused specifically on you kids. I do want to say to the rest of you in the room, it's not that the sermon is not for you as well today. This is the Word of God being preached, and we all need to listen to what God's word is saying in this passage. And kids, just a quick question. Do you think that this means that next sermon, next Sunday, you shouldn't listen to the sermon because that one's not for you? No. Every week when we preach the word of God, it's for everybody, old and young. It's just that sometimes you guys know you're listening to the sermon and there are parts in there that are maybe easier for adults to understand, and you guys are saying, I'm going to have to work on that one, and maybe in 5 years, 10 years, I'll understand that part, right? So every week you should try to understand as much as you can. But sometimes in sermons there are things that you know, oh, I didn't get that. That must have been more for the grown-ups. This week it's kind of just flipped. So this week is focused on you guys, and the grown-ups are going to have to do the work to try to keep up as best they can. All right? So before we read today's passage, I want to ask you a question just to think about. And everybody else could think about it too. Don't answer out loud, just think about it. Have you ever been in a crowd? If you've been in a crowd, this is your challenge. You're going to have to do this kind of in the background. It will come up later. If you've ever been in a crowd, try to think of one word that describes what it's like to be in a crowd. You think you can do that? One word that describes, don't say it yet, just think about it. One word that describes what it's like to be in a crowd. Okay? That's your little homework. We're going to come back to it in a couple minutes. We're going to read Luke chapter 6, verses 17, 18, and 19, and guess what? They are about a crowd. Let's read them. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. Okay, I want you guys to help me do a little Bible study here, either from listening or looking at the verses, because God sends his word to us, not just to read and forget, but to change us. But before we can be changed by it, we have to understand it. So today, pretty quick, as we go, I'm going to ask 8 questions that the answers are in the passage. And I'm going to make 2 points as we go along. I'm going to call them A and B, that are ways that this passage is supposed to change us, okay? So the 8 questions are like Bible study questions. What does it say? And then the A and B, there's a lot, but you guys can handle it. The A and B are the 2 ways this passage can change us. So the first question I think is easy. Look at the verse 17. It says, and he came down with them. Who is the he? Hannah? Jesus. That's right. Easy. And if you go back in chapter 6 earlier, you have to go back pretty far to verse 11. The last person named, we find out, is Jesus. So that's how we know that's who it is. All right, that was question 1. Who is the he? Jesus. Question 2, maybe a little bit more complicated. What did he do? Winslow? Okay, yeah, he's going to get to that. Right in the beginning, verse 17, the very first thing that he does, he did what, Jonah? He came down. All right, so he is Jesus. He came down. Question 3. Came down from where?
Heaven.
He did come down from heaven. That's right. And then, in this part, he came down from somewhere else while he was here. Does anybody know? Winslow? That was some other people coming from Judah and Jerusalem. Good guess. Good guess. You have to look at the verses before this part, and we find out that Jesus came down from a mountain. Now, when you think of a mountain, or if you're ever going to draw a mountain, you know how I draw mountains? Right? Big, like Rocky Mountains, tall, pointy. That's probably not the kind of mountain it was. But let me ask you guys, have any of you been to Bear Mountain before, or the Pocono Mountains, you know? Or maybe another kind of big, what we call in New York a mountain. They're not really like that kind of mountain, but they're big hills. Now, Bear Mountain is a big hill. If you ever try to climb one of these big hills, these mountains, it takes a long time. It takes a longer time than it takes to watch The Little Mermaid, or a longer time than it takes to play a baseball game, or longer time than it takes maybe for some of you to drive to your grandparents' house. It takes a long time to go up even like our small mountains in New York. And that was probably the kind of mountain it was. Still a mountain that takes a long time to go up. So here's the question. Do most people just go hang out at the top of Bear Mountain for fun? No, because it's hard to get up to the top. So if you were at Bear Mountain or the Pocono Mountains, and there was people everywhere and you wanted a little break, what could you do? Climb up the mountain, because most people are not going up there. So Jesus came down from the mountain because he had been up there to get a little away from the crowds. So question 4 is trying to remember last week's sermon. What was Jesus doing up on the mountain? I'm just going to give you the answers to this one, okay? Last week we heard that Jesus was doing 2 things up on the mountain. He was praying. Now remember, the Bible is for grown-ups and it's for kids. So one of the things that we see that Jesus went up on the mountain to be alone and to pray teaches us about our relationships with God. We should also take time to pray. You should take time to pray, to talk to God when you're by yourself, because you're not by yourself. God is everywhere. God is there. It's part of what humans were made to do, not just when they grow up, but even when they're kids. So Jesus was on the mountain. What was he doing? He was praying. And then the second thing that he did, we heard last week, he was picking his apostles. So I don't know if you guys heard last week's sermon, but his apostles, does anybody know how many apostles there were? Noah? 13 if we add Paul, right? Good, good. But at first, there were 12 apostles, and they were the 12 men that Jesus picked to be the first leaders of his church. And this is why I want you guys to notice this, because look at verse 17 again. Jesus came down, and it says, with them. Who is the them? It's the 12. 12 disciples, 12 apostles, right? The leaders of his church. In other words, when Jesus came down from the mountain, it was like kind of an announcement that the church is starting. Okay? When he came down from the mountain, he had picked these 12 apostles, and it was kind of like an announcement that the church was starting. The church is a big deal. It's important to Jesus that you guys are part of a church, which is why I'm so glad that you're all here today, and many of you part of our church. All right, so Jesus comes down from the mountain. He was praying. He was picking his apostles. And it says that he came down to a level place. And that just means like a flat area. Maybe it was all the way down at the bottom. Maybe it was like partway down the mountain. But it was a place that was flat enough for a lot of people to hang out, to be there. So when he gets to this level place, here's our next question, number 5. Look at maybe the second half of verse 17. What is waiting for him when he gets to the bottom? Let's see. We'll go back to Hannah. A lot of people. Let me read the second half of verse 17. With a great crowd of his disciples. So this is not the 12 disciples. This is other followers of Jesus. A great crowd of them. And a great multitude of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. Ooh, it just goes on and on and on, right? Because it's trying to get us to picture huge crowd. And verse 18 says they didn't just get like plopped there. They didn't just say, oh, what? How did we get here? They came there on purpose. They all came there on purpose. So here's my next question. Let's try to imagine what this crowd is like. Question number 6. I'm going to ask it, but don't answer it yet. Who's in the crowd? Just think about it. Who's in the crowd? Have you ever seen a group, a crowd maybe, but everybody looked the same? Maybe it was like a family party and everybody was related to each other. And you said, oh, I can tell why that's while they're all together, because they all look the same. They must be part of the same family. That's a family crowd. Or maybe you saw a whole bunch of people wearing the same uniform. Maybe it was a crowd of soldiers or something. Or maybe if you ever saw a crowd and everybody had on a red nose, you know it was a crowd of clowns, right? But those kinds of crowds are crowds where the reason they're all together is because they're all the same. But this crowd that came to see Jesus, they weren't all the same. It says there were people there from Galilee. Galilee was where this probably happened, this story in the Bible. It was kind of like in the north, kind of not very crowded, kind of like Vermont, where Peter and Amanda and Crystal's mom and dad live, kind of like in the north in the mountains. There were people there from Galilee. But then it says there were people there from Judea, which is kind of like way down in south. So that'd be like if Hannah's big sister Rachel went all the way from South Carolina with some of her college friends and went up to Vermont too. And be like, whoa, what are they doing here? And then it says there were people there from Jerusalem, which is like the big city, right? So that'd be like New York City. So then there's the crowd, and there's people from Vermont, there's people from South Carolina, there's people from New York City. Then it says there's people there from Tyre and Sidon, which, listen to this, Tyre and Sidon were part of a different country. So that would be like if in the crowd there was people from Vermont, people from South Carolina, people from New York City, and also people flew in from India, and people flew in from Colombia, and people flew in from Russia. You'd be like, what? This crowd? Who's in this crowd? So this is my question. Who's in this crowd that came to see Jesus? Everybody. Everybody. So this, remember I said there were two points of how this passage is supposed to change us? This is point A. What God wants us to see in this passage about this crowd. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Does that make sense to you guys from the passage? There's people there from everywhere who came to Jesus because everybody needs Jesus. And also because Jesus was starting the church, Luke is kind of telling us everybody needs Jesus' church to be in his church. So maybe you have friends, or maybe you have neighbors, or maybe you have cousins or something, and they don't know Jesus, they don't love Jesus, maybe they don't care about Jesus. And maybe you've heard them say something like, well, everybody's different. Everybody believes different things. We just believe different things, and that's okay. But see, if what the Bible is saying is true here, that everybody needs Jesus, Luke is saying Jesus came down for everybody. Everybody needs Jesus. And this is true not just for you kids, this is true of everyone in this room. This is what God's word proclaims. Everybody needs Jesus. And that means whoever you are, you need Jesus. That means the Bible teaches that if you live in India and maybe your parents are Hindus, but Jesus wants you to leave Hinduism and join his church and follow him. Or maybe if you live in China and maybe your parents are Buddhists or atheists, Jesus wants you to show your parents that you love them, but Jesus is the king of all people. And so you need to follow Jesus even if your family doesn't want to. Maybe you live in New York and your friends, they don't talk about Jesus at all. They talk about video games, they talk about sports, they talk about money, they talk about shows, they talk about their friends. But they also, New Yorkers, need to realize that Jesus is more important than any of those things. And if you have all those things, but you don't have Jesus, there's a problem because everybody needs Jesus. Maybe you're really good looking, or really handsome, or maybe you're really good at something, or maybe you're really strong. You need Jesus. Or maybe you're really weak. Maybe you're really sick all the time and you feel bad about that. Maybe people call you nasty names or something about something that you can't even help. But you need Jesus. And Jesus came for someone like you. Maybe you're very nice and obedient and kind. You still need Jesus. Maybe you know you're not nice and obedient and kind. Maybe you know you're a sinner. You tell lies. You think mean thoughts or nasty thoughts, or you do wrong things. Jesus wants you with him. Jesus came for everybody, and everybody needs Jesus. Now, that's what this crowd of everybody shows us. Everybody needs Jesus. Remember I asked you to think about a time you were in a crowd? So did anybody think of one word that describes what it's like for you to be in a crowd? Okay, raise your hand if you're thinking of a word. Jonah? Crowded? Great, okay. Winslow and then Peyton. Crazy? Overwhelmed. Ooh, that's a good word, Jude. Busy? Scared. Anybody else? What it's like to be in a crowd? Makes you feel small, maybe even like not important. Maddie? Say it a little louder. You could get lost, yeah, maybe dangerous, right? Right, even if it's daytime, you could still get lost in the crowd by accident. Okay, these are good. These are good words. All right. I was thinking about crowds, and I was wondering, like, for kids in particular, I thought maybe crowds could be a little unpleasant because it's hard to move. What if you have to go to the bathroom? And you have to start pushing people and saying, excuse me, coming through, emergency, right? Or maybe it might be hard to see over people's heads if you're shorter and you're a kid and all you see is people's bellies, I don't know. Or maybe the guy right next to you forgot to put on deodorant, it's a little stinky, you can't get away from him. Luke says in his crowd, in this crowd in Luke 6, there were even people who had evil spirits, so it might have been scary for kids until Jesus healed those people, right? And yet, these people wanted to be there. So why would all these people who didn't have anything in common, it's not like they were all wearing red noses, it wasn't a clown crowd, it was people from everywhere, why would they come be in a crowd when it would have been maybe more comfortable to just stay home? So this is question number 7. What was this crowd there for? Hannah, did you have an answer to that? That's right. It's actually a two-part answer, and that's the first part. Let's look at verse 18. Listen, one of the things that Hannah said, and there's one other thing. This crowd, they came to hear him, and what's the second thing? To be healed by him. So those are the two things this crowd came for, to hear Jesus and to be healed by Jesus. We're going to do them backwards, all right? Let's talk about the second one, to be healed by Jesus. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have a disease right now, but raise your hand if you've ever been sick. Everybody's been sick, right? When you want to get better because you're sick, who do you go to? You should go to Jesus, yep, but he's also given us people hospital. You go to a doctor, right? Yep, all right. It wasn't a trick question. If you get sick, you go to the doctor. Now, can the doctor heal you? Yeah? Not always, but sometimes. Right, really, doctors can't heal you. I mean, they can't say, be healed. Doesn't work. They can't just say, boop. Right. So what do doctors sometimes do to try to heal you? They give you shots with what's in the shot? Medicine. Now, does the medicine always heal you? Sometimes it helps you get well. Sometimes it takes a real long time. And then there are a lot of sicknesses, a lot of things that doctors just don't know how to heal. So some of you know Mr. Gabriel, a couple weeks ago, he sprained his ankle real bad. And he went to the doctor and he waited a long time. And you know what they said at the end? He said, you have to wait like 4 weeks and maybe it'll heal by itself. They couldn't heal it. Doctors don't know how to heal a sprained ankle. They can't do it. They have to just let it heal by itself. So did these crowds come to Jesus because he was a doctor with a lot of medicine? No. How did Jesus heal people? Look at verse 19. It says, all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. Did the power come down from the sky? Did it come out from Jesus' backpack? No. Did it come from some machine he had? No. Did it come from Jesus knowing some magic words? No. Where did the power to heal people's bodies come from? The verse says, from him. From him. In fact, if you go back to verse 18, it shows that Jesus' power is so strong that he's not just strong enough to heal people's bodies from diseases, he can even defeat demons. Verse 18 says, those who were troubled by unclean spirits were cured. Only God could do that. Only God can heal people's bodies and defeat demons. And Jesus did it. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the one through whom God heals. And it wasn't just an accident. Maybe the people thought, Jesus is healing by accident. If we could just touch him, we'll get healed. But the people got healed because Jesus wanted them to be healed. He wanted to heal those people. So this is one reason why Christians pray to Jesus when we're sick. because we know that he can heal people. Sometimes he uses medicine, or he uses doctors, or he uses time to let our bodies heal. And sometimes he just does it like a miracle. But we know that Jesus can heal people, and we also know that he cares about sick people. So when you're sick, or you know someone who's sick, it's good and right to ask Jesus to heal them. But this is important. Does Jesus always heal everybody from everything? Not yet. He doesn't. He's going to do it when he comes back the second time. But Jesus doesn't always choose to heal our bodies. And here's why. There's a more important kind of healing that everybody needs. And if Jesus just healed everybody's body, it would be very easy for people to get distracted, running around saying, he's healing everybody's bodies, he's healing everybody's bodies. And we would get distracted from the more important healing that everybody needs. And this is what it is. A heart healing. Everyone needs Jesus because everyone needs heart healing. Because of sin, everybody's soul is sick. Here's what I mean. A sick soul is kind of like a sick arm. How do I know if my arm is sick? It won't do what it's supposed to do. It's not working, right? If I can't move my arm except like this, you could say something's wrong with your arm. It needs to be healed. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. Well, because of sin, our souls don't do what they're supposed to do. Our souls are sick. The Bible even says our souls are dead. I mean, if my arm is sick and needs to be healed, if it can't even move, what if my arm is just dead, like on the floor? You'd say, that needs some big healing. It doesn't work. Well, our souls don't work. Our souls were made to love God more than anything and to want to worship him and praise him and know him. But because of sin, we don't do that the way we're supposed to. We don't want God the way we're supposed to. Our souls were supposed to love other people just as much as we love ourselves. But because of sin, our souls don't work. We love ourselves most. And so we end up doing wrong to other people. Our souls are supposed to hate sin and turn away from it because it's not pleasing to God. But because of sin, our souls don't work. Some sins we hate, but then other sins we're like, ooh, I kind of like this and I don't want to stop. So our souls are sick and they need to be healed. They need to be healed. Now, that sounds like terrible news. Our souls are sick and they don't do what they're supposed to be. And it is terrible news, but here's the thing. If you were living in Israel at the time of Jesus and you had cancer in your bones and you knew you were sick and you knew you were dying, but let's say you went over to the mountain where Jesus was and touched him, would he heal you? He would. Now, let's say today you find out that your soul is sick and you need to be healed. If you go to Jesus, can he heal you? He can. How does he heal sick souls? That's the last thing we're going to talk about. Remember, they came to Jesus for two things, to get healed. But what was the first thing? To see him very close. It wasn't with the eyes, it was with the ears. To hear him. Jesus heals people through his word. So kids, this is one reason why we are so excited that you're taking Bible classes this year. This is one reason why every Sunday we want you to listen to the sermon, listen to us reading the Bible, even if you don't understand it all. Try to understand as much as you can. This is one reason why it's good for you to read your Bible at home by yourself, or if you can't read, to ask your parents to read to you. Don't complain about the Bible class or complain about family Bible time get used to ignoring those things, because Jesus heals souls through hearing his word. So when you go to Bible class, or you go home and you read your Bible, or your parents are teaching you the Bible at home, think. Don't just think, oh, we're doing Bible class. Oh, we're doing Bible time. Oh, I'm doing my devotions. Think, Jesus heals souls through his word. Thank you that I get to hear his word. I'm going to hear his word today. I'm going to hear his word today, and he can heal my soul. Now, there's a kind of hearing. Have you heard of this kind of hearing? What do you think I'm saying here? In one ear and out the other. In one ear. That's not the kind of hearing we're talking about. And actually, you're never going to believe this. We kind of see that in this passage. So remember I asked who was at the bottom of the mountain and we said a crowd? Actually, it was two crowds smushed into one. Because look back at verse 17. It says there was a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude, which is just another word for crowd, of people. So there was a great crowd of his disciples, and it was smushed together with a great crowd of other people. So what was the difference? What makes someone not just a part of the crowd, but a disciple who's part of the crowd? And you're going to have to keep coming back for the next few weeks, because Jesus is going to talk about it at the end of his sermon that he gives on this level place. And this is what he says. He says the difference between someone who's just a part of the crowd and someone who's a disciple in the crowd is that they don't just hear my word, they listen to it. They follow what I say. They believe what they hear. Does that make sense to you? So this is the second main point. This is B. The second main point that Luke shows us is that if you hear Jesus' word and follow him, he will heal your soul. I hope you see how good news that is. Maybe Jesus is showing you today even, or this past week, that you have soul sickness. Maybe you know, I don't really love God. I don't like singing to him. I don't like talking to him. I don't like hearing about him. It's kind of annoying to me. You have a sick soul. If you hear Jesus' word and follow what he says, believe what he says about himself and about God, he will heal your soul. Maybe you know you have a soul sickness and you've been angry at someone. You've been being mean to them. You've been thinking mean thoughts about them. If you hear Jesus' word and listen to him, he will heal your soul. Maybe there's something you've been doing wrong and you've been keeping it secret, and you know it's wrong, and you know it's not pleasing to God, and you know you should go tell your parents about it and ask them to help you with it. If you hear Jesus' word and you listen to him and you bring that sin out into the light like his word tells us to, even asking a parent or a grown-up to help you turn away from that sin, Jesus will heal your soul. Maybe you want things that you know are wrong to want. Grown-ups, this is often a big problem for us, even as believers. Our souls are filled with all kinds of errant desires. Jesus has the power and the willingness to heal your soul if you will hear his word and entrust yourself to it. This is the best news you will ever hear. So, two main points. A, you guys remember what it was? It starts with an E. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. You want to say that? Everybody needs Jesus. B, this is longer, so it's harder. If you hear Jesus and follow him, he will heal your soul. If you hear Jesus and follow him, he will heal your soul. There's one last thing I gotta remind everybody about. Because if you will believe it, this is even greater news. Even greater news than that Jesus heals souls, which is the best news when it comes to soul sickness. But here's greater news. Imagine I had done something that was really, really evil, maybe even killed someone. In a country where the law is, if you kill someone, tomorrow you get put to death. Imagine that was my story. But imagine I also had a really gross, sore, sick arm. All right, so tomorrow I'm going to be put to death because of my crime. But today I have a really sore arm. My arm's not working. I can't play baseball the way I want to. If somebody came to me and said, I have a good news for you. Tomorrow a doctor's going to come and he's going to heal your arm. How would I feel about that? I'd say, I'm sorry. I would like to be excited that my arm's going to get healed, but tomorrow I'm going to die for my sins. So it doesn't help me. But what if the story was this? What if tomorrow the doctor came and I say, he could heal my arm, but I'm going to die today, so it's not going to help me. And here comes the executioner, the guy who's going to put me to death for the wrong that I've done, and I deserve it. And what if the doctor all of a sudden steps in between us and says, no. Don't kill him. I want to heal him. Kill me instead. Now, if that doctor loves you that much to die in your place, do you think he loves you enough that he wants to heal you? Oh, yeah. And if you saw that happen, don't you think you'd be wishing, man, I'm so grateful that doctor died for me so that I don't have to die for my sins. I wish that he could come back and heal me too. I would do anything he said. I'd be his best friend. I would follow him. Well, you guys know that's just an example, but do you know there's a real story like that? We, you and me, and everyone in this room deserve to die for the sins that our sick souls committed against God. But Jesus came, not down from that mountain that first time. He went up a mountain later in his life called Golgotha or Calvary. And on that mountain, Jesus died for your sins, so that if you will turn to him, you will be forgiven and not have to die for your crimes against your maker. And the Jesus who died for sinners says, if you will trust in him, if you will hear his word and follow him and believe that he forgives sinners, he will also heal your soul. So do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins and didn't just stay dead, but rose again and now says, come to me and I will forgive you and heal you? If you will believe that, if you do believe that, keep believing it. Hear Jesus' word with all your life. Listen to it with all your heart. Talk to him about your sins, asking him to heal you. And he will do it. He will heal your souls. And friends, I've been focused on the kids, but you know this is for all of us. This is the good news. Everybody needs Jesus, however old you are. And if you will hear his word, and not just hear it in one ear, out the other, but respond to it by faith and giving your life to Christ, he will heal your soul. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying for sinners so that you could rise to forgive us and heal us. I pray for every one of these kids that they will be not just part of the crowd, but disciples who hear your word and follow it and worship you for all the ways that you love and heal and lead your people. You are God, Jesus. You deserve our worship. Help us to worship you now with glad and grateful hearts. Amen.